Now you got to add a plural, pools of blessing. That's awesome. There's a psalm that talks about how that there was a valley and it was filled with these trenches, and the rain began to pour and it began to fill the valley of Baca, I believe is what it's called. And it began to fill the valley so that there were literally lakes all over this valley where the water had filled in. And that's what I see in my mind, pools of blessing. It's like this desert land that looks like there can't be anything good there. And all of a sudden, the Lord brings in the rain and it begins to fill all of the spaces so you have pools of blessing. I don't know about you, but that's a good thing. Amen. And then it says another meaning is a present or a gift. How many people know when God gives you a gift, it's a good thing? Amen? Amen. I remember when I first met Pastor Steve, and I was 27, so I'd been looking for a long time. You know, God was 9 years behind on my schedule. I thought 18, right? I was ready, right? No, 27. So I had been looking, right? And when it says the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and no sorrow with it, that's what I think about when I think about him. No sorrow with him. I just feel blessed. Feels like, you know, I mean, we talk about it all the time. It feels like only yesterday that we got married. How can it be 20 years, right? But when God's in something, there's a blessing that comes with it. And then it says, makes truly rich. That means to accumulate and to grow rich. There's so many proverbs that we're going to get to where it talks about how that wealth quickly gained is often lost. How many people know that on average, the average person who wins the lottery is bankrupt, I think it's like within a year or 2 years. How can that be, right? Because they get all this money, there's no preparation, there's no training, they don't know what to do with it, so they just spend it all. Amen? I love this fact that when God brings a blessing that's going to make you rich, it's going to be something he's going to show you how to keep. How to keep accumulating so that you're not going to be like the world that when you get blessed, it just whoosh, goes right out. I remember times in the past during doing our finances and having to pray and ask the Lord, where is the hole? Because I keep putting money in here and it's just gone. But you know what? He will show you. He'll give you the wisdom you need to plug the holes. Amen? So his wealth brings no sorrow with it, but it also is something that you accumulate. That means over time. Sometimes there are those amazing instant blessings. Like Pastor Steve and I have experienced that in our lives. Paid off our whole second mortgage, just like that. But for years before that, we had been praying for the Lord to help us to pay that off. So when the money came in, we already had a what? Plan. God is great about plans. Amen? And so we knew right where we're supposed to go. Because God will show you, he'll direct you, he'll guide you, he'll give you the wisdom. And then it says he will add no sorrow with it. That means pain, hurt, sorrow, toil, labor, and hardship. And at first I was like, wait a minute. Toil? I mean, we're supposed to work. I know he doesn't want us to be lazy, right? And so I started researching these two words, toil versus work. Because I believe that it's like the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat, right? We saw last week how we had the comparison of the ants and the grasshopper, how the ants were busy doing what they were supposed to be doing. They made the choice to store up, but the grasshopper was off doing his thing. And when fall came and there was no food, he went to the ants and they said, well, what have you been doing? Well, there's music to be played. Okay, keep playing your music. Right? Because he didn't make the right choice. So I was looking at these two words. Toil means labor with pain and fatigue, labor that oppresses the body and the mind. Worry is what leads to excessive toiling. When you're toiling instead of working, it makes you weary and you will want to give up because it will not be fruitful. Wow. All of a sudden, the lights just went off. And I can remember times in my life where I toiled. You know, you're just trying to excessive working, and you're trying to do it, and you're trying to do it, and you're trying to do it, but you're not waiting on the Lord, right? What does it say? It says that toil is unfruitful labor. Toil is where it beats up your body and your mind. This is not the image that the Lord has for us. He wants this. Work is meaningful and purposeful. Ecclesiastes 2:10 says, "My heart took pleasure in all my work, and this was my reward." When you work for something, there's a pleasure in it. Like when we come to church every Sunday, there is a pleasure in coming and setting up. I know that might seem weird to some people, but we enjoy what we do. It doesn't feel like work. Well, maybe we should say this. It doesn't feel like toil. I know a lot of pastors that are toiling in their churches because they don't look forward to Sunday. They aren't excited about Sunday. They're stressed. They're anxious. There's anxiety. Because there's a difference between when you toil and when you work. Amen? So we are supposed to be workers, not toilers. Toil has to do with sorrow. How many people say, or everyone say, "I have no sorrow. I work, but I will not toil." Amen. And then where does the blessing come from? This is an important part. It says, the blessing of the... Say it louder. The Lord. The blessing of the Lord. That means this blessing is coming from Him. Amen. I think that's why He put on the end that your toiling doesn't increase it. Because it's a blessing that comes from Him. It's a gift or a present. Can you imagine going to a birthday party and someone gives you a gift and you ask them, "Okay, so how much do I have to work for this?" They would look at you like you were dropped off the moon, right? That doesn't make sense. It's a gift. And yet so often when the Lord blesses us in our life, we're like, "Okay, Lord, so how do I have to make up for this?" And He's up there going, "I'm your dad. I just want to give you a gift. Receive the gift," right? So the blessing comes from the Lord. And when it's from Him, we can't add to it by our toiling. When it comes from Him, listen, there is no pain. There is no hardship, there is no sorrow, and there is no hurt involved. Amen? The next part says, we are free to enjoy, free to give, and free from all the heaviness of toil. When the Lord blesses you, there's a freedom. Say freedom. There is a freedom to be able to give, not just to the people that are right around you, but there's like this excitement to give. I was sharing the other day our story about the Mishler family, how they wanted to come home, which, by the way, his dad is still cancer-free. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was sharing the story with a friend of mine, how that we had put it before our church and the amount of offering that came in. And the person on the phone was like, she got quiet. She's like, "This was above their missions giving?" And I said, "Yes, it was. It was above their..." She's like, "Your church?" And I said, "Yes, my church." And she was just astounded. She's like, "That gives me goosebumps to see that you have a church that is so giving." And she said, "That's amazing. It's miraculous what God is doing through your church." And that's what happens. When you get blessed, what do you want to do? Bless others. It's just a natural response. And if it's not a natural response, then ask the Lord to make it, because your dad is a giving dad and he wants to give. And so as he gives to you, your desire should be to give to others. Amen? So the blessing of the Lord makes what? Rich. And he adds no sorrow. Amen? So it's okay to say the R word. It's okay to say rich. Because God's riches is not the vision that you've had in the past. God's vision of rich is a blessing. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Boys, you ready? Grab your butterfly nets. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much today for this word. We thank you, Father, for the Proverbs that are your word that is powerful and effective, Father, that just as it's just as powerful as when Solomon spoke it the first time as when we read it today. And Lord, we just thank you that we want to receive the gifts that you have for us, Father, that we want the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich. We don't want to get it the world's way. We don't want to cheat and steal and try to cut corners or any of the get-rich programs, Father. No, we want it to be something that accumulates over time. That's your plan, to accumulate that wealth, Father. So why? So that we can have an abundance for every good work, so that we can give and give and give whenever the need arises, Father, whenever you put it in our hearts, Lord, whether it's the person that is waiting on us at the restaurant, or maybe the person that's in the window that gives us our coffee, or maybe it's an offering that's at church, maybe it's someone in our family, wherever it is, Lord, we're going to be ready to give because we have an abundance to give from. And we just praise you and we thank you for blessing every seed that's sown today, Father. Multiply it. Bless the sower. We just thank you, Father, for just an anointed rest of our service. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for coming to church this morning, everybody. Amen. If you haven't noticed, things are a little more challenging right now. Amen. But thanks for wearing your mask. I'm going to go ahead and take mine off now because I'm going to be speaking more. So hallelujah. But there will be a day where the all clear will come. Amen. And we can say it by faith. Somebody say, all clear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for that you have a word for us from the Holy Spirit. We give you the praise for it by faith. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that, like Brother Copeland has prophesied before, for the household of faith, everything's going to be all right. And we give you the praise for it now. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. And we receive it all with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to continue a couple more weeks on the help of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, just as we made this transition over here and so forth, and it's been a wonderful transition. And just with things that are going on in society and business and everything, you know, in our nation and the world, social issues, you know, just the devil just keeps piling stuff on, doesn't he? And don't you know that as we were going through these things, and as I was going through some things, you know, personally and with all this stuff, you know, we all have things we deal with individually and things we deal with kind of corporately, right? The Lord was reminding me, son, don't forget about the Holy Spirit. Don't forget about the Holy Spirit. He's there with you. He's the one that Jesus sent to be with you throughout your life. Amen? And he's here to be our helper. Somebody say helper, right? He is our helper. Praise the Lord. So if the Spirit of God was sent to help me, I ought to receive that help. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And as you know, if you've been here the past couple weeks, I've been talking about some of these cool old shows that we've been reliving. And one of them is this cool show called MacGyver. And so I've been dressed up as close as I can. I'm a little bit better looking, I think, than he is, but I tried to get uglier. No, it's joking. But but MacGyver is this dude, if you've never seen it, I'd really never seen it, I'd heard of it. I've been more into the A-Team and Chips and stuff like that. But man, I started watching MacGyver, and he kind of grew on me, right? And the cool thing about MacGyver is there's really no jam he can't get out of. And in fact, one of these, I'll show you this to start off with. He usually carries some kind of satchel like this. And Peggy reminded me, one of the things that he always carries is a roll of duct tape. What can you not fix with a roll of duct tape, right? Sometimes I probably, you know, talking about faith and the power of our words, sometimes it might be good for me to just duct tape my mouth in certain situations so I don't say stuff that I ought not be saying, amen? Somebody say, if I sayed it, I prayed it. So watch what I say. Amen? Oh, this ain't never going to change. Welcome to the new normal. Somebody say. I'd probably die of cancer too, just like all my grandparents. Somebody say, cover your mouth. But it's a cool thing with MacGyver, because he just has sometimes a roll of duct tape. And one of the other things he always carries around is this, what do you call these again? Swiss Army knife. And so the Swiss Army knife, you know, has all these different cool little things you can pull out and fix almost anything with a Swiss Army knife. And MacGyver, these are two of the staples that he's always got with him at all times, in his pockets, you know. The other day we were watching an episode, and he bumped into this young lady, and she was fishing, and she couldn't catch anything. And me and my family kind of know what that's like. Yesterday we went out to Silver Lake. It was beautiful out there. We rented a pontoon boat, spent the day, like 8 hours on the lake. I'm probably glowing a little bit from that. Some of them are too, amen. And we had a great time, but the fishing wasn't really so great. We caught a couple of yellow perch, Luke did, Lindsay caught a few, Lane had something, the Loch Ness, I think. I caught the engine a couple times, and Shelly and I caught one another. Our lines came together under the boat. And Luke once, all of a sudden, Luke's like, ah, fish on, fish on, fish on. And Lacey's like, me too, man. And they caught each other under the boat. So Shelly caught a stick. But this one episode of MacGyver we were watching, this young lady couldn't catch any fish, and he pulled out a gum wrapper out of his pocket and tied it onto her. Just throw this in. Sure enough, she catches this big old fish. So MacGyver can fix anything. He's there to help anytime with anything. Kind of like, you know, duct tape and a Swiss Army knife. But that's who the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is kind of like having MacGyver on the inside of you. Amen? So wherever you're at your place of business, if you're walking into the grocery store, amen, if whatever's happening with your company, with your family, with these situations going on in our society, don't you know the Holy Ghost is here on the inside to help. Not to hate, not to criticize, not to ridicule, not to sin, right? He's here to help us and to help others through us. Amen? Isn't that marvelous? Now, I want to, let me just define the word helper to you. It means comforter, intercessor, consoler, advocate. Amen? Somebody say, he's my comforter. A comforter doesn't come to you and say, guess what? It's only going to get worse. You think this is bad? Wait till tomorrow. Right? No. He'll come to you and say, he'll remind you of things that Jesus has already done on your behalf. You know what, son? To the world, this is becoming normal. In fact, like I heard one conservative political guy say, if we don't vote the right people into office, these things are a preview of coming attractions. Amen, right? That's true. Amen? We are in the last of the last days. But guess what? You and me, we are filled with the Spirit of God. Somebody say MacGyver on the inside. Ain't nothing. We watched another episode that MacGyver had this girlfriend, and we thought she got blew up. But she didn't get blew up. She wasn't in the car. And they came back together, and they kissed each other, and it was like, you know what? That is the girl from MacGyver, because she got out of that. Don't you know, the Holy Spirit is not here to help you endure the curse. He's here to separate you from the curse. Amen? And when others are lost in it up to here, you can reach out a hand and say, hey, the same Jesus, come on, church, the same Jesus that rescued me is here to rescue you. if you'll receive him. Amen? But that word helper in the dictionary, it means this: to save, to rescue, to give or provide what is necessary. Amen, right? To make easier, less difficult. Don't you know, even in times where we have to just endure some things, he can make things easier. He can make things less difficult to deal with. And I don't know about you, but a lot of that has to do with him working on my attitude towards things. If my attitude towards something like, well, I have to wear a mask, is bad, which it has been, here and there, I confess, right? He'll help you. He'll say, you know what? Keep a good attitude. This is what your leaders are asking you to do. Trust me and just do what you got to do. I'm here. What is he doing? He's making it easier. He's making it less difficult because he's helping me with my attitude toward this thing. He's bringing relief. Somebody say, help is on the way. And he is the Holy Ghost. Let's say it one more time. John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So it's important to remember whatever you hear, consider the source. Amen? Consider the source of whatever you're hearing. Is that something that the Word of God would... is that something I should go ahead and just believe for me? Amen? Or does the Word of God have something else to say about that? Because it's true what the world is saying may apply to the world. But if you're a believer, somebody say, not me. Remember those old Daffy Duck cartoons when he says, not this little black duck? Why? Because you're so much better? Well, you have a better covenant. It's not because God loves you any more than so-and-so or this person or that person, but you've put your faith in him. Now listen, just from a father's standpoint, I have kids who I love, but just from a father's standpoint, and the Word of God says that earthly fathers compared to God the Father, there's just no comparison in the love that there is, right? You have accepted, anybody in this room born again, you've accepted what Jesus did. And you're, do you know how that separates you from the rest of the world in the Father's eyes? He sent his son to be brutally tortured and murdered on your behalf, and you accepted it. That sets you apart from the rest of the world. Doesn't mean he hates other people, but you, in God's eyes, you're his son, you're his daughter. He's accepted you as his own because you've accepted him. That means all this junk that's coming on the world does not belong to you, so do not take it for yourself. I'm talking everything from sickness to sin to poverty, depression, whatever it is. That's not, somebody said, that ain't for me. The joy is for me. The peace is for me. The prosperity of God is for me. The salvation of God is for me. These things are things that the Holy Ghost brings to our life. Amen? But I want to look at, I think we've already gone through this piece here. But you see the picture of this guy getting ready to kind of navigate himself through this wilderness. And that's what the Holy Ghost, who he is on the inside of us, is he helps us through our lives. Amen? He helps us. Somebody say, he's the helper. Amen? And we receive his help. Praise God. But I'm gonna move on to this next scripture right here. This is where we've been at the past couple weeks. We're talking about the Holy Spirit who is from God. Now, do you know there's a lot of spirits in the world, but one is from God, the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people, even in churches, even in amongst Christian people, will receive strange and bizarre things because somebody said, the Holy Spirit said, or this doctor person said, or that person. Somebody say, no, you need to remember what's in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will remind you what Jesus said. So if somebody says something nutty, you don't just buy into that because they're doctor this or pastor that. You know, it doesn't matter. or great grandma said this, right? And she loved God. No, no, you need to come to the Word of God and receive of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says it this way. For God has not given, somebody say this out loud. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, I'm still looking for participation here. Amen. Say it again. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Praise God. Now, fear means timidity, faithless. It means being faithless. The Spirit of God is the spirit of faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in what He's accomplished on our behalf. Amen? Persuasion. We talked earlier during communion about being the full assurance of faith. And there's a lot of Christians that get born again and they just stop there, which is, I mean, if you have to stop somewhere, that'd be where you want to stop, I guess, right? Because you want to make sure you're on your way to heaven. Doesn't make any difference if you're healthy and you go to hell, right? You're rich, but you go to hell, right? No, no. So, but guess what? Once you're born again, that's where your relationship with God starts. And there's people, Christians all over the world in many cases, that aren't sure of even their own salvation. Because they think, well, if I'm saved, why am I still having all these, maybe I'm not really saved. And they walk around in fear all the time. Well, that's just the devil, right? How do we get saved? Somebody say, by faith. You just say, Jesus, come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that I'm on my way to heaven. And from that point on, you are a child of God. But there's other things that God wants us to grow up into in our faith. Here's the thing. Not in order to be saved. See, I don't stop sinning in order to be saved. I sin less and stop sinning and start doing what's right and stop doing what's wrong because I'm saved. Now, that's a really huge, huge difference in the religions of this world and in Christianity. Amen? The religions of the world will tell you, well, you don't want to do that bad stuff anymore because you might come back as a tadpole then. Right? Because of the bad karma, they say, or whatever. These are lies of the devil. There's even some real common faiths that we've all heard of that come knocking at your door sometimes that will tell you, yeah, what Jesus did is true. Yeah, he did die. Maybe some will say he even rose again, but it wasn't enough. You also need this book because the Bible has errors and it's incomplete. So you also need this book. Somebody say lies. Lies. Not true. Completely not true. Amen. Yeah, what Jesus did was great, but you also have to do these things in order to be redeemed. I've heard of two mainline, not Christianity, but other faiths that kind of, you know, have elements of Christianity. One told me that their loved one couldn't even have a proper funeral because they weren't holy enough. One, another guy I heard saying he couldn't go to a friend's wedding, couldn't go in the room because he wasn't holy enough. Somebody say, these are lies. If you're born again, guess what? You are the right. He became sin. So he didn't just die for our sin. He became the sin. He became the disease on the cross. Instead of the cross, he was beaten so badly, and spiritually he couldn't even recognize he was a human being on the cross. So brutally nasty, he became the curse on the cross, so you and me can become his righteousness. Now I know I'm preaching a little bit there, but this is good. Amen. It's good to remember. Why? Because we're talking about this thing called full assurance of faith. We need to be fully assured that you're a daughter, that you're a son. Because if you're fully assured of that, it opens the doors for all kinds of awesome things for God to do in your life. Again, not in order for you to be saved, but because Because you're a part of God's family, you have certain rights and benefits that you need to be aware of. That's why we have this church, to inform you as the Lord would lead. Here's what's in the will for you. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Well, got another thing to show you here as we wrap it up. As we wrap it up, like Brother Hagin has said, there's a great YouTube video of Kenneth E. Hagin. Oh man, what an amazing prophet of God. He's passed on to be with Jesus, but he's trying to, the Holy Ghost is just all over this place and people are going down in the power. And he's like, I just need somebody to wrap it up. And everybody comes up, try to close. They just go down in the power. Have you seen it? It's a beautiful. Yeah, they just go down. It is so awesome. It just, the joy of the Lord's all over it. I mean, come on. What was happening? The Holy Ghost was being poured out in that place. Amen. Somebody said, I want to be a vessel of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But this the scripture talks about, he has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power. We talked about power last week. Today I want to talk about, he is the spirit of love. Somebody say, he's the spirit of love. So we're not out there hating on people. We hate what is evil, and we love what is good. But it doesn't mean we hate people that are acting in evil. We pray for them, and we minister, and we preach the gospel, and we live for Jesus. Amen? But the Holy Ghost is the spirit of love. And Romans 5:5 says it this way. The love of God has been, somebody say has been, right? Poured out. Somebody say poured out. In our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, this is so, so, so critically important as believers that we get this and we continue. It's like a continual washing of the water of the Word. Amen? I took a shower yesterday, but I also needed to take one today. Amen? And the love of God is a continual washing from the inside out over our lives, being poured out. What are we being washed by? We're being washed by the reality that God loves me. Why am I not going to get COVID? Why am I not going to die of some crazy disease? Because my Father loves me. The revelation of this has got to be continually growing and being fed and being watered in our lives, because it is the truth. And the Lord showed me this a while back, that I was studying faith really hard, because I thought, I'd going through something in my life, and I thought that my faith was messed up. And he said, son, you need to take your eyes off of the faith thing and bring it over here to my love for you. And I'll tell you what, as I study God's love, my faith grows stronger. Because you trust someone that you know loves you. Somebody say, I trust God because he loves me. And the Holy Spirit is there to remind us continually, continually. Why won't you get in a head-on collision today and die? Because my Father loves me. Why won't you get a disease and die? Because my Father loves me. Why won't your kids be involved in some crazy school shooting? Because my Father loves me. Why is there a wonderful church being built in the city of Vancouver called Redeemed Church? Because my Father loves me. Amen. Why is COVID going to just be gone? Be gone. Somebody say be gone. Shut down. Because my Father loves me. Why are all your friends and loved ones that you're concerned about and praying for going to be saved, and come to Jesus? Because, somebody say, my Father loves me. Amen. So there's a continual washing of that. And the word poured means words like gush. Somebody say there's a gushing of the love of God. To gush out. It means to run out. It means to spill. It means exceedingly abundantly above. It means heartily, heavenly, very highly. Somebody say there's a gushing going out. And that reminds me of a couple more things that I have in my satchel. Because see, some people, show it to you like this. Some people, they come to Jesus and they get one of these inside their spirit, which I don't have water in it, I promise. But it's how many know this is fun for a few minutes, but then it's over, right? And there's not a, it's not a whole lot you can do. If this building was on fire, this wouldn't do a whole lot. Amen? It's just a little bit. Somebody say a little bit of love is nice. But whose decision is it to have this on the inside? It's mine, right? The love of God knows no limits. The Holy Ghost knows no limits. So you can grow in your revelation of the love of God, and you can get bigger. Somebody say, I can get bigger on the inside. Now, because Christian, I need a couple of volunteers. Luke, come on up here. Who's another volunteer? Ella, come on up here. And I need an adult in just a minute. Who's an adult? Come on up here, Miss Ann. Now, you hold that one. Now, Christian A, he's been born again for 72 years, but all he thinks God loves him is this much. I hope when I get to heaven, I see Jesus. I hope when I get to heaven, God isn't angry at me. Now, Christian right here, this Christian has a little bit bigger revelation of the love of God, and she's got some faith. She's seen some God heal some people, do some miracles, amen? So, and she knows God loves her too. Stand right over here, Elle, right, again, this right there. But then we have Miss Ann here, and I got something for you too in my satchel. Well, I found this. Now this, if you're hooked up to the power source, this is just going to keep going and going and going and going and bringing life to your yard and your flowers and to others. Amen. And we can run through it for 24/7. Amen. So you'll see the difference between a little love, some pretty good love, and the unlimited resource of the love of God. Now, did God pick Christian A to just be loved a little? No. Christian A was probably taught somewhere. Well, yeah, but it ain't all about you. What Jesus did wasn't all about you. Really? Was it all about him? What, wasn't it me that he came to save and heal and deliver? Yeah, then it was all about me. Right? And so you can see the depth of our love in God is up to us to receive more. Somebody say there's more. There's more. And how do we do that? Well, we stay plugged into God's word, listen to preaching and teaching that is anointed and that encourages you. Get a devotional that doesn't tear you down. I've seen devotionals, guys, that talk about how awful you are and how good God. Oh, God is so good, but you're so bad. That don't help me. I can go to the doctor and hear that, right? No. You want a devotional? I have Faith to Faith by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and it builds me up. I'm looking for, the word prophecy means build up. We're tearing down the devil and building up the kingdom of God, amen? So the love of God inside of you is going to build you up. And see, Christians that have this little bitty revelation of God's love, they think God's mad, not just them, but they think God's mad at everybody. Right? Somebody say, not so. God loves me. Now this Christian is going to be watering people. The water is going to be spilling into the street, getting in the windows. Right? Amen. This person's going to have some fun too, right? But don't you know, somebody say, it's up to me. It's up to me. And like Hebrews 10 says, we can get to that place of the full assurance. Somebody say there's deeper places to go with God. Somebody say, he loves me. And his love is being poured out in my heart. How? By the Holy Spirit, not by how good you've been or how bad you have been. Or somebody say, it's by the Holy Spirit that he loves me. Can you give our audience a great big hand? Thank you, guys. That's for you. Well, then bless somebody with it. You have the power to bless them. Amen. And, hey, Luke, I had a couple. This came with three, so I'll let you have that. Amen. Maybe you have some people you can try that on later. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and stand up on our feet, and let's just pray in the Holy Spirit. Just Put your hands out like you're receiving the power of God, receiving the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Just say, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the love of God that's being poured out in my heart today by the Holy Spirit. Now just take a moment and pray in the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's a huge part of walking in God's love, as being baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. Just say, Lord, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, and I will pray in a new tongue. And begin to pray it out. That's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying as I'm praying in the Spirit. Is his first priority. Somebody say priority one. Priority one of the Holy Spirit is to remind you how much God loves you. To remind you how much he loves you. Just say, Lord, I receive your love for me today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen and amen.